praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, a presentation of Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades, culminated his ministry with a 21-year book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called Life Study. This Life Study is the basis for our program today and includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's program. The Bible says faith is the substance or the substantiating of the unseen things. Faith is what makes God real to us the way our eyes make light real to us. We will look at substantiating faith on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee and Watchman Nee were yoked together as the gospel was spread and churches established mightily by God in China in the first half of this century. And Witness Lee later continued this ministry in America following Watchman Nee's imprisonment. We're privileged to have recorded portions of his classic Life Study of Hebrews from 1975 on the broadcast today, and here to be a part of it is Francis Ball. Francis, thank you for another visit to the program.
I'm sure happy to be a part of this one, yes.
Today, Francis, we will spend most of our time looking at the unique way of faith and the Bible's definition of faith. But as a preface, we need to see that Hebrews opens the matter of faith to us only after the presentation of some serious warnings to Christians, to believers. What's the general point of these warnings?
Well, it's quite interesting that there are some very important warnings here. And the general point of these warnings in Hebrews is that believers in Christ should not stop short of entering into the full salvation of God. There are 4 very clear warnings before we get to the matter and the meaning of faith. In the 2nd chapter of this book, we have a warning about giving heed to what is spoken concerning the Son. And then in chapter 3 through the first half of chapter 4, we're warned not to come short of the promised rest. And then in chapter 5 through a good part of 6, we're brought on to maturity. Don't stop short of maturing. And then finally, in chapter 10, just before we get to this matter of faith, we're cautioned to come forward to the Holy of Holies and not to shrink back to Judaism or religion. So I would say, Chris, that the general point of these warnings, that there's much more concerning the Son of God that we need to take heed to, and that there is a promised rest that we're in danger of missing if we're not hearing what the speaking Spirit is saying today. And also that we are in danger of remaining spiritual babes if we do not grow to maturity. And that we need to constantly come forward to the Holy of Holies where Christ is. And that is, in our spirit, and not to shrink back to the old religion typified here by Judaism. Many Bible teachers like to apply these warnings to Israel, to the Jews. But these warnings have a definite and strong application to us as New Testament believers.
Francis, I'd like to pick up your words. We do want to hear the speaking Spirit and heed the speaking Spirit in our life study today. Now let's join Witness Lee.
In the whole New Testament, there are only 2 or 3 books are very well composed. Number 1, you may count on Hebrews. And number 2, Romans. And number 3, the book of Revelation. These 3 books are composed in the best way. Hebrew, I would rank it as the top. Composition-wise, it is on the top. It uses 10 chapters to give us a full comparison between God's economy and man-made religion. This man-made religion frustrates God's people from going on according to God's economy. This is the trouble. And this was the reason, as we have seen already, that this book was written. Now, after the 10 chapters, the comparison has been made so clear. Let me illustrate this way. You are driving a car, coming to a juncture, where two signs, one sign on this side, closed, and the sign on the other side say open, closed, open. What would you do? Would you still drive toward the closed way? You don't know what will happen if you drive that closed way. So it is wise to drive the open way. Yes, the 10 chapters give us a clear comparison. Actually, it just give us a sign for our driving. Toward the old way, there is a word, closed, seized, terminated, ended. It's closed. And toward the new way, it says open, freshly cut, freshly slain. It's widely open. This is the consummation of these 10 chapters. After these, the writer spends some time to tell us how to take this open way, how to take this freshly slain way. In this book, you have one complete chapter, a long chapter on the unique way of faith. At the end of chapter 10, in the warning, the writer says, we shouldn't be those people who shrink back to ruin, but we must be the people that have faith. The last verse of chapter 10, let me read to you again. But we are not of them who shrink back to ruin, but of them who have faith to the gaining of the soul. For the gaining of the soul, the Bible uses different terms, different words, different aspects, but regardless how many different terms, aspects, the main point is all the way consistent. Glorification, perfection, gaining of the soul. I just pick up these three terms in this one book. You all have to know all these three terms, glorification, perfection, gaining of the soul, are just pointing to one thing.
Francis, I really enjoyed this look at the book of Hebrews, a 10-chapter-long comparison of the Old Covenant and the New, or to use Witness Lee's analogy, the Old Road and the New Road, or New Expressway. Francis, there are road-closed signs all over the Old Way, but in our natural concept of how to please God, it seems like we end up on that road very often, don't we?
It certainly seems so. We do end up on that road too many times, and for too long a time. We ought to be able to recognize a sign that's so clear, closed, terminated, ended, dead end. These are all cautions. Don't take this route. It might have been good at one time, but it's not good anymore. It's closed. So why we turn back to this way is a lot because of our natural concepts. To take that way is to do things in vain. To even do things for God, you might say. But not according to his New Testament economy, not according to the expressway of today's economy. To shrink back is to shrink back to ruin. It's not just to do something sinful or to do something worldly, but even to do things religiously, apparently for God, but according to the old covenant way, the way of works. That way is terminated, closed. That way was a picture, but it's not the reality. So we need to avoid going down the closed road, the one-way road, the dead-end road. Our religious nature, with all of its natural concepts, causes us to think that the closed way will bring us to the destination of righteousness. We all want to be right. But Romans 9 tells us clearly that Israel pursued this way, pursuing the law of righteousness, but they did not attain to that law. There was nothing wrong with the law, but the way to reach the destination was not attainable by that law. Why? Because they pursued it not out of faith, but as it were out of works. And that's really the purpose of this message today, that it's not a matter of works, but a matter of faith. So when we leave the way of God's New Testament economy and try our own way, we end up on a closed road, and our labor is in vain. To take the closed road of religion is really to shrink back to ruin, to shrink back from God's economy, from God's new covenant, and God's New Testament way.
Of course, Francis, as New Testament believers, our works or our way would not be to go back to the traditions and offerings of the Jewish faith. But it's not that their works were wrong, it's that their way was wrong.
Right.
We really have another way, another road to travel.
That's right. The way has been freshly slain. We should take it.
Praise the Lord. Francis, let's go back to more of our life study.
Now, at the end of chapter 10, the writer encourages the receivers, the readers of this book, to go on by faith. But of them who have faith to the gaining of the soul, he said this. So, right after this chapter, in chapter 11, he tells us faith is the unique way. And he also tells us what is faith. Now you know, this is the position of chapter 11. Faith is the unique way for us to receive the word of the gospel by faith. You know, the proper gospel is the gospel of bequests. My, for anyone to receive such a gospel of bequests, there is the need of faith. Here is just a piece of paper telling you that a good mansion is there for you and a big amount of deposit in the bank for you. Will you take it or not? If you don't have the faith, you would say, this is nothing. Just a piece of paper. I don't care for it. It needs you to exercise your faith to take it. The real power of the proper preaching is that you can infuse people with faith. Infuse them to such an extent, whatever you say, they just believe in it. To receive the word of the gospel needs faith. Faith is a unique way for people to receive the gospel. Surely, you can never see God. God is wonderful. God is great. But people can say, to me, God is nothing. With the faith, God is everything. Without the faith, God is nothing. Again, I would say, when we minister God to people, we must be able to infuse people with faith. Otherwise, whatever we fellowship with people, that will be nothing. We need faith to take God, to grasp God.
Francis, we hear these wonderful messages from Hebrews or Romans, and we get inspired. We really want to walk this way and experience the kind of Christ that we hear about over and over again in this ministry. But there is only one way, one unique way, and that is the way of faith. Francis, what is this way of faith?
Faith is not something that we can originate. It's not something that we can initiate. Faith has to come from God. Actually, in us fallen creatures, there is no faith. But there is such a thing as faith, and this faith is unique. We have to get started in this faith, and we have to live in this faith. The way of faith, this unique faith, is defined in chapter 11, verse 1, as the substantiation of things hoped for. It's the assurance. It's the confidence. It's the confirmation. It's the reality, the essence. Really the supporting ground of things hoped for. And the things hoped for include the eternal life and our inheritance. Faith is also the conviction of things unseen. It convinces us of what we do not see. Hence, it is the evidence, the proof of things unseen. Faith is really just taking God at His word. We're offered many wonderful things, many wonderful bequests that the Lord Jesus provided for us and gave to us as a will or as bequest, such as forgiveness of sins, a cleansing, encouragement, hope, all of these wonderful things, love and so on. Faith is the means of our receiving all these promises and making these promised blessings real to us. Faith is the unique path for the Christian life. Christians are called believers because to have faith is to believe. Unbelievers, being without Christ, have no hope. Theirs is an unconfirmed hope so. You talk to unbelievers, they say, I hope so. But that's not our hope. Our hope is something solid, something definite, something imparted into us. The believer's hope is both sure and steadfast. As I said, faith does not originate with us, but rather is infused into us by the preaching of the gospel concerning Christ. As we therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, the Apostle Paul said. So in other words, we receive Christ as our Savior and Lord by faith that came to us when we heard the gospel preached and there was an echo within us that agreed with that. We must not forsake this way of faith, but continue day by day, all the way in the way of faith.
Francis, I liked your use of the word echo. Surely there was an echo then, and I believe when we hear this kind of speaking in this kind of way, there's an echo today. In this final section, Francis, we're going to hear Witness Lee give faith's definition. Let's listen.
Faith's definition. Telling the truth, I don't have much to say because faith can be realized within our being. It's hard for us to define with our mouth. We don't have any kind of words to talk about faith. Faith is just faith. It's hard to define. After so many centuries, after so many translations, interpretations, we agree to choose the best word. That is, in English, the substantiate. King James says the substance. Here, it is not a solid thing as a matter. But here, the word refers to a kind of action. It is a noun, but it should be a verbal noun, a gerund with ing. Substantiating is different from substance. Look at me. This little book is a substance. Substantiating is that my hand touches it and senses it and realizes it and have a full consciousness of it. This is substantiating. Faith is not the substance, but it's an action. An action to substantiate something. To have faith, it doesn't mean you have some kind of a substantial element. You have some substance. It does mean that. To have faith means within you that you substantiate something. No one can see it. No one can hear it. No one can touch it. Yet within you, you have some ability, some action to substantiate something. The Bible says, whosoever believe shall be saved. Right away within you, there is a kind of substantiating to realize what is conveyed in this simple word. Oh, the whole Bible is a will full of the Christ. So simple. For the unbelievers, they would say, this is nonsense. This is just a book so hard for people to understand. I just don't know what the Bible talks about for the unbelievers. But for we, God's called ones, when this word is spoken to us, that the Bible is a will with so many bequests, it's so strange. Within us, there is a responding realization. You just within substantiate the thing. And this is what is called here the substantiating. This is faith. You cannot explain it. Neither you can present to people. Now you can show to people that within you, you have a spirit. And that within your spirit, Jesus is here. You cannot show people. You cannot present this to people. But within you, you have a kind of substantiate.
Well, Francis, he began this session by saying that he didn't have much to say about what faith is, but really he said quite a lot. So often in the Christian life, especially the version that is aggressively promoted, it seems, in modern America, the goals become tangible things, jobs, houses, maybe answered prayer for material needs. But Witness Lee's word at the end that our life should be aimed at the things not seen was very powerful. What are these unseen things, Francis, that we should be aiming at?
I certainly can agree with you that all the things which are mentioned here in the outward matter, like jobs and houses and the things you mentioned, the material gain, all these things could be categorized as things seen. These things are all the temporal things, things that are not substantial, things which don't last. They have no eternal worth and no eternal value. The popular presentation of the gospel many times is lowered to make people think that by receiving Christ, their life will be full of material and temporal blessings. But we found this is not really the case. And really to live by faith is not that kind of guarantee that you're going to be the next one promoted in your job or you're going to be the CEO. Of your company. But we must realize that the things that are unseen are eternal. What are some of these unseen things? Well, one very practical bequest that you receive by faith is something not seen, but very real. And that is within your being there is a law of life. When Christ comes into you by faith that's infused into you, you have a law that regulates and controls and even leads and guides. Another real blessing is God. You get God. Isn't that marvelous? That when you believe, when you exercise faith, God becomes your person. He becomes you. He comes into you. You can't see Him, but by faith He is so real to you. You set your heart on Him, aim at Him, and your life is changed. But it's not the kind of change that's offered to people. But I would say what we need, Chris, is to aim at God. aim at the things that are unseen. Unseen, but very, very real. Even your spirit is something you cannot show people. But because the Bible says you have a spirit, you believe what God says. And your spirit is so real to you. All the things we are aiming at are the unseen things. Since the things we are hoping for and aiming at are unseen and eternal, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk all the time by faith on things not seen yet.
Francis, to me this was an inspiring word. I trust that it will be to many of the listeners of this broadcast. I want to thank you again today for your participation and your help on a marvelous life study and a word that we really commit to the Lord to bring freshly to His people.
I'm so happy to be here and so thankful we can live a life by faith.
And I'm thankful we have opportunities like this to fellowship about it, Francis.
Amen.
Join us again very soon. As I mentioned, we'll be back tomorrow with another life study from Hebrews with Witness Lee. Thanking Francis Ball for joining us, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today. You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Whether you're hearing this program via radio, online, or as a podcast, you'll find hundreds of audio studies just like this one by visiting our website, lsmradio.com. We also hope you'll email us with your questions or comments, radio@lsm.org, or call us toll-free, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Thanks for listening.